Hello, and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, September 20th, Election Day in Canada. Coming up on today's show, we chat with Mayor Sean Michaud about recent incidents in Sackville that prompted him to check in with the local RCMP. And we hear from Lauren Clark from EOS Eco Energy about a speaker series on Thursday and Friday exploring renewable energy possibilities for homeowners and communities. But first, the Drew Nursing Home in Sackville has 10 active cases of COVID-19 as of Friday afternoon and is bracing for more potential cases after tests conducted on Saturday and Sunday are processed. Since last Monday night, 3 employees and 7 residents of the Drew have tested positive for COVID-19. An update on case numbers reflecting weekend testing is expected later today. Mike Keating is interim director of the New Brunswick Association of Nursing Homes. He says the Drew is one of 8 nursing homes in the province to report cases of COVID-19 in the current wave, and that the province's rapid outbreak management teams, or PROMPTs, are stretched thin. The outbreak at the Drew started with a single case in an employee reported last Monday night. Then on Wednesday, Public Health conducted testing covering residents in 2 of the Drew's 3 units, as well as some staff. Keating says that as of this past weekend, all staff have been tested and residents have been tested a second time. Keating also says there are no people in hospital so far, and the 7 residents are all experiencing mild symptoms. He also says that all the cases are in 1 unit of the home, the Chignecto unit. All residents of the Drew have been fully vaccinated for some time, but there are employees without any vaccination, says Keating. This Wednesday, a new provincial rule comes into effect requiring employees of nursing homes to be fully vaccinated or else get tested 3 times per week and wear a mask at work. One employee at the Drew said that under the circumstances, it's all hands on deck, and the home is currently looking for anyone with nursing experience to work some shifts. The employee says management and staff at the Drew are doing everything they can, going above and beyond, but they are concerned that the government has not yet declared an outbreak at the Drew and that it took nearly a week before all employees were tested for COVID-19. The Drew Nursing Home is not the only Sackville institution with current cases of COVID-19. Both the Port Elgin Regional School and Tantramar Regional High School will be closed to students on Monday due to school community cases. TRHS sent messages to families on Sunday night informing them of a positive case at the high school and that Monday would be an operational day with students learning from home. Port Elgin Regional School posted on social media Sunday night saying that students would not come to school Monday so that public health could do contact tracing for COVID-19. The province of New Brunswick does not publish updated case numbers over the weekend. As of Friday afternoon, there were 370 active cases in the province, and 119 of them in Zone 1. Sackville Town Council meets tonight for a special council meeting to hear from citizens and local groups about budget priorities for 2022. In their next budget, council will be considering how to spend an additional $372,000 in gas tax funding. The money can be spent on a number of different infrastructure projects that must be approved by the province. Tonight's meeting starts at 6:30 p.m. when Council will meet in camera for a human resources issue. The public meeting starts at 7 p.m. People traveling back and forth to Nova Scotia will need to register in order to return to New Brunswick starting on Wednesday. But even though the policy kicks in 2 days, the online registration system is still not open. The province says it will open Tuesday. The registration system is being used to identify travelers who are not fully vaccinated. Anyone having received 2 doses of an approved vaccine will need to register just once for multiple trips, but those who have only 1 or no shots will need to register for each trip into New Brunswick. They will also be required to isolate for up to 14 days while in New Brunswick and get tested on their 10th day. Premier Blaine Higgs said last week that border stations would not return to enforce the new rule, but public safety officers may do spot checks. The camper fire that killed a family of 6 from Amherst last week has been ruled accidental, and the investigation concluded, according to a report from CBC Nova Scotia. The family was on a weekend camping trip in Millvale, Nova Scotia, when the fire happened. Susan Mader-Zink, a spokesperson for the Nova Scotia Emergency Management Office, told CBC that the investigation determined a small, smoldering fire in the camper had created a lot of smoke and fumes. 30-year-old R.J. Sears and 28-year-old Michelle Robertson died in the fire, along with their four children, aged 3 to 11. The federal campaign brought out the worst in some Sackvillians, with two incidents during the campaign warranting police calls. In his report to council last week, Mayor Sean Michaud said he spoke with local RCMP about the two incidents, as well as the topic of community engagement. I called up Mayor Michaud last week to find out more. Mayor Michaud, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So there have been some incidents in Sackville recently that prompted you to check in with the local RCMP. Can you tell us about those incidents and what concerned you about them?
Well, you know, the first one was the vandalism that took place on one of the candidates' federal candidates' signs. So that prompted me to just speak to the RCMP just to ensure that a complaint had been filed and that investigation was ongoing. And so that's what prompted the meeting. It's been brought to my attention, and the type of vandalism wasn't your typical type of vandalism, for sure.
Right, yeah. And there was another incident, I gather?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that at the time when I went and spoke with the sergeant, but another incident took place a couple of weeks back with another federal candidate, and it was probably a little more disturbing from my accounts of it, or from what I've heard about the situation, what I've read about the situation. Was more of a kind of face-to-face kind of confrontation that happened with the candidate.
Right. And that's, so you're referring to, I guess, the NDP candidate, Evelyn Godfrey, when they were collecting nomination signatures.
And
so there was some racial overtones to that one. There was racist slurs and that sort of thing. And her vehicle was damaged by someone.
Yeah, from the reports that I read, yes.
So you were speaking with Sergeant Gagne about the first incident, but the second incident happened after your conversation with Sergeant Gagne?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Okay. In your time in Sackville, can you recall similar incidents happening around, especially around these election time like this?
No, I can't actually. And that's what's concerning. I was born and raised in Sackville. I mean, I did live away for several years and moved back, but, I've always found Sackville to be kind of a quiet little community that showed respect for each other. And even though we were maybe a difference of opinion on matters, we always respected each other. So, it's a sign, I think, of the pandemic and what society is facing right now. And it's a lot of frustrated people dealing with what we're going through as a society.
Now, I guess you weren't speaking to Sergeant Gagne about the incident involving the federal NDP candidate, Evelyn Godfrey. It wasn't necessarily clear whether it would be prosecuted as a hate crime. And I know the RCMP don't exactly decide how things are prosecuted. Do you know if it was being investigated as a hate crime?
I'm not aware of any of the facts in regards to the particular investigation or what's going on. That would probably be more so a question for the RCMP.
All right. I had a more general note, something I wanted to ask you about, Mayor Michaud. Back when you were a town councillor, you had mentioned the idea of exploring a citizens' police advisory committee, maybe something similar to one that had existed years ago in Sackville. I'm wondering if, now that you're mayor, is that still something that's on your radar, or have you been giving that any thought recently?
Yeah, it's definitely something on my radar. It was something that I discussed with the sergeant. Something that that's being chatted about amongst the liaison and amongst staff. And it's hopeful that something is developed with regards to the upcoming session, the October 13th session for community engagement. That I think that's going to be a starting point, and I hope to see some things evolve over the next few months that will kind of take this further to just being a a kind of a once a quarter type of update with, or a couple times a year update with the public, allowing them the opportunity to give some feedback.
Okay, so right, so you're hoping that yeah, the first public engagement session here will be a conversation starter in terms of possibly something like a citizens' police advisory committee.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's important. I mean, we are fortunate in our community to have our own community programs officer through the RCMP. And back when the first Citizens Advisory Committee existed that I was on, that role wasn't here. It was more of a district role. So the services from that person was being shared throughout the district. So now that we have our own person, I'm hopeful that what will happen is through the work within that department, within the RCMP, that we'll be able to start getting more engagement within the community.
That was Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud. A tentative date for an RCMP public engagement session in Sackville has been set for October 13th. Last but not least on Tantramar Report, if you're curious about alternative energy, EOS Eco Energy has a webinar for you. EOS is working to revive Renewables NB, a group dedicated to promote renewable energy sources, with a speaker series this Thursday and Friday. I called up Lauren Clark, Energy Coordinator at EOS, for more information. Lauren Clark, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem.
So can you tell us about this Renewables NB speaker series? I gather there's six presentations on offer, September 23rd and 24th. Can you tell us a bit more?
Yeah, for sure. So we wanted to host an event as Renewables New Brunswick. It had been quite a few years since one had been organized, and EOS took over the coordination of the network last year. But we wanted to offer a webinar series, and so we partnered with the Cape Germain Nature Center to do this. And we have six webinars that we're super excited about, and they, range from, NB Power giving information about their energy efficiency programs for residential customers to folks who live off-grid talking about their experiences to someone that works in the micro hydro industry, sort of talking about what he does and how all of that works. So, yeah, there's a big variety of topics, and I'm super happy that two of our presentations will be in French, and one of them will be a bilingual presentation. So I'm super happy about that because most of the things we do at EOS tend to be in English. So I was really happy to be able to include some French content in there.
Yeah. Who's the audience for these webinars? Is it, sort of your average homeowner who, or is it more geared towards sort of hardcore, energy efficiency, off-grid living and that sort of thing? Either the people who like to fantasize about it or the people who are serious and can make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the webinar. Like, for sure, just folks who are interested in making their homes more energy efficient and reducing their power bills would certainly, I'm sure, be interested in the presentation from NB Power. They're also going to touch on the federal program a little bit that's more recent that came out. And sort of the rebates around that. But then, I mean, we're sort of gearing it towards, the general public, maybe, who's just sort of, interested in that sort of thing, or maybe someone who's thinking about, building a house or going off-grid, that sort of thing. And we're also inviting quite a few, high schools If they would be interested to attend, to listen, to watch and ask questions. So really a broad range of folks who we're hoping to reach through the webinar series.
Okay. What is microhydro?
Yeah, so from my understanding, it's basically hydropower on a smaller scale, which I think tends to be sort of used in like a small stream or like a little river. And from my understanding, you would use a turbine, and then the water was flows through the turbine, and then you can use that energy that's generated to power your home or your camp. Part of the Renewables NB website is that there are a lot of case studies, mostly of homeowners who have renewable energy, you know, installed in their home, whether that be solar panels or like they have a passive solar home. And when I looked on the website under like hydropower, there's three case studies pop up, but all of them are sort of like hypothetical. It's like, oh, this homeowner is thinking of, you know, installing micro hydro, or, you know, they might want to look into that in the future, but there's no actual concrete examples of it in the province at the moment on our website anyway. So I think it's something that's super interesting, and I think it's so cool that there's like someone that creates these systems here in the province. And I feel like there's a lot of potential for folks to take advantage of that, especially because, you know, there's lots of, like, I don't know, wilderness, New Brunswick, and lots of folks have, like, camps, and I just feel like there's a lot of potential there for folks to learn about it and just for general information, but then also, you know, it could be useful to folks for sure.
So Renewables NB is a sort of a network of different organizations that are all focused on promoting renewables?
Yeah, and we've sort of tried to do like a relaunch of it this year because it was established quite a few years ago, and it's sort of lost its momentum over the years. And so we're sort of hoping with our coordination of it to sort of revamp it a bit. And so we've been having like more and different organizations involved this year. We're hoping to add to the case studies on the website. And it has just mostly been for the past couple of years, just the website and the like mailing list basically. So with this event, we're you know, trying to expand our reach and sort of help promote renewables and yeah, just sort of give information and have it sort of readily accessible online and available for folks who might have questions or are curious about it.
I noticed that, you know, this is sort of off topic of this webinar series, but it recently the town of Sackville found out there's a few $100,000 in extra gas tax funding. And I noticed on the list of eligible projects, the community energy was on there. You know, is that something that happens in New Brunswick? Do towns and municipalities take on projects like that? Or are renewables sort of on the radar for that scale of things?
I know that there's some recent examples of some First Nations communities that have put up wind turbines in New Brunswick. No, I think those community energy projects are awesome. I know that's something that's been attempted in the past, and there seem to be some barriers to that, and it's not maybe as easy as it is in other places, maybe like Nova Scotia. But I think that would be really great if that was something that we were able to do, and that'd be super cool, yeah.
I guess in the meantime, if folks want to learn a bit more about their renewable energy options on the sort of residential scale level, then that's what these webinars are focused on, right?
Exactly. Yep. It's a lot of homeowners that have that are, you know, off grid, that have solar energy, that have like composting toilets. Not everybody, but you know, and so they've sort of gone about the process themselves and are super excited to share, you know, their experience, and I think it'll be really interesting.
All right. And how do people participate?
Yeah, so if you go to the Cape Germain website, or search Cape Germain online, under their events page, there's a place where you can register for the events. And the way that it works is you'll either register for day one or day two. You're certainly welcome to register for both. And then you would just tune in, like, at the time of the webinar that you're interested in. Or, you know, if there's multiple webinars you're interested in, then you would tune in, like, at the time that those webinars are. But it's not, like, six separate events to sign up for. It's sort of divided into the 2 days sort of deal. So, yeah, and it's totally free.
Awesome. Okay, well, I mean, I hope some of our listeners are able to tune in, and I appreciate you taking the time to tell us about this today, Lauren. Thanks.
Absolutely. No problem. Thanks, Erica.
That was Lauren Clark of EOS Eco Energy. Check chmafm.com for links to the Renewables NB speaker series. That's it for CHMA's Tantrum Hour Report for this Monday, September 20th. It is Election Day in Canada, so make sure you get out there and vote. This week, you might notice some changes with Tantrum Hour Report. We'll be shifting slightly, coming to your airwaves on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at the usual time, 9 a.m., noon, and 4 p.m. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can rely on our daily top-of-the-hour spots to bring you timely local information and headlines. We hope this new schedule will allow us to continue improving Tantrum Hour Report, bringing local voices and local stories to your radio. As always, we hope that you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler, and thanks for listening.